Be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. Humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite! Let us fight for a new world. To do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world.
October 13th, 2014. It is formally Columbus Day here in, here in America. This is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. I am subbing for my good friend Clint Richardson tonight. His websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com and thecorporationnation.com. I appreciate you joining me tonight on RBN. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. Feel free to visit my website, spingola.com, and a website created by a listener and friend, spingolaspeaks.wordpress.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in either chat room. You can visit spingola.chatango.com or corporationnation.chatango.com. Because I'm going to be visiting both of those chat rooms. So you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Deanna Spingola. I'm not sure whether Clint has a Twitter account. Our guest tonight is Tony Pantelaresco. He is known as the mad scientist in some areas. His website is augmentinforce.50webs.com. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thank you so much for being on. I didn't really mean to call you a mad scientist, but...
That's okay. I've been called worse. A lot worse. Trust me. Vernacular is not very polite sometimes.
sure. Now, you sent me a YouTube video, very short one, YouTube video, over the weekend, and I watched it, and it just kind of grossed me out. It was on Morgellons, and the title that you sent with it didn't quite match the video, but hey.
Well, it did. If you understood what I was trying to get across there, you would have understood it. It was appropriately done. Because you get into this debacle, I call it, between people who eat meat and vegans and vegetarians. And the point I was trying to make there was, if you saw a grasshopper, which is a vegan, and what they pulled out of that. There was another one that didn't send you where they did the same thing to a praying mantis, which is a meat eater. So the point I was trying to get across there is that the food safety that we have, or that we assume we have, doesn't exist. In Canada, for instance, we have tomatoes made in Canada that come from Mexico. So we have what's going on a international level are basically what you're assuming and what you're reading and what's going on isn't a reality. And again, that whole thing with the Morgellons and the parasites, that's about nanotechnology incorporating itself as well with the nucleotides and proteins of the parasite. So, I mean, but the whole point there was everyone's got this idea that we're eating safe food or it's everything's safe. Again, that's why I sent that to you so that you could see that, A, our food is being dealt with a nanobio element, and B, not everything we think is safe is either. I think today, You'd be today you would be hard pressed, seriously, if you really did any real scrupulous research to where it'd be indicating in any way, shape, or form that your food is safe. And one of the solutions you have at your disposal is start growing things like potatoes, radishes, beets, carrots, things you can grow inside all year round. Because in the winter months, okay, here in where I live, we have to import our food and our fruit. I don't like the idea of my stuff coming in from a developing country or a warm tour country, or having stuff come in from another country and then it's reboxed in a box saying made in USA or made in Canada. And I am assuming that I'm supporting my local farmer. In reality, I'm supporting a foreign investment. And I have nothing, I'm not in opposition of eating foods made in Mexico or other parts of the world, but I have a problem when it's being put in a box saying made in North America. That's my issue.
Sure. Yeah, that is not good. And having grown a lot of my own food, not lightly, but having done so in the past, I always felt good about, I knew exactly what I was eating. I knew where it came from. I knew the source. And now with all of the multinational corporations and all of the factory farms and everything else, we really do not have any idea what we are ingesting, and it's pretty disgusting.
We don't even have a clue where it's coming from anymore. Like I said, we have a place here that distributes tomatoes, and now we used to have Heinz in the county here. They moved down to Mexico. So all of a sudden now we have a warehousing companies out there that are supposed to be picking tomatoes in my area here in Essex County and putting them in a box from our locale. But instead, we're getting now stuff from Mexico. Now, I told one of my friends, somehow, some way, southwestern Ontario, or at least where we are, has been teleported to Mexico, and we are now part of the Mexican country. Because nobody told us that we moved. You know, because that's what's going on. You know, we are not, and again, this may sound like, and that's why I sent you that video, basically to,
get that sick. Point. Make
that's
sick.
It.
Well, gross me out.
It'll put hair in your chest and make a man out of you. Oh, yeah.
That I don't want.
Well, come on. It's every woman's desire. Winter's coming. You have pillows. Now you'll have a blanket. Come on.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh.
We got to have a sense of humor about these. Look, we're living in some unique times. We're living in
yes.
a time where Ebola has 4 patents on it, American patents, which I find utterly amazing. I'm not even sure what's being released today is even Ebola.
Well, go ahead.
They're saying it is. But when I saw the video in Africa, what they did to those people, they actually corralled them into an encampment, and then they released it on them while they were there. They trapped them there. And when you see that they have 4 patents on a virus. Now, last I checked, these things, you know, are created in nature unless they're formed in a lab somewhere. Now, if they're formed in the lab somewhere, then they do belong to somebody's intellectual property rights patents. And since there's 4 of them on there, then you have to seriously question if in reality what we're being shown in the media is not some smoke and mirror. I don't know what we got going out there. I know what they're telling us, but you know, I find that somewhat, intrigued to what it really is.
Sure.
You know, because again, 4 patents, really? 4 patents on a virus that's, you know, that's created on its own. So, did these people actually die of Ebola, or did they die of something that it was nano incorporated? Because if you're looking at the nanotechnology that's out there today. We have over 1,600 consumable products that are nano, either built with nano or are nano. A lot of the silver products, a lot of the colloidal silver products I found also are not colloidal silver. They're actually nano silver. So, but with a colloidal silver label on them. And that was a bit of a surprise. So, I mean, I'm learning all kinds of things, and I've been probably in the last 6 weeks entrenched in the research on this, and I'm not finding too many scientists anywhere on the planet that are really comfortable with nanotechnology, because the one interesting thing about it, it can be programmed, it can self-replicate, it can be shaped just by using frequencies, sound, electrical, light. Our chemtrails are loaded with the nanoparticles. When you see them spreading and expanding, these are self-replicating nanoparticles, or smart dust is what they call them, which are continually expanding in every way, shape, or form. And now we have a Canadian scientist named David Keith, a moron, wants to spray sulfur dioxide in the atmosphere to a tune of 20,000 tons. Now why that's moronic is for several reasons, but one is the acid rain, but the main one is when you have nanoparticles exposed to sulfur, they aggregate. In other words, they concentrate the surface, because that's what nanoparticles do. They're so condensed that they spread over surface layer and then they take over. In this case, you have a sulfur base there, and they basically expand the volume, and what goes up must come down, because what's lighter than air now is heavier than air. But the dangerous thing about that is, not only is it coming down at whatever velocity, but when it hits the ground, the self-replicating program stays intact, because these things have what they call nanocarbon fibers, which are 200 times stronger than diamond. So we have a lot of exposure going on. We've always had nanoparticles with industrial pollutants, car exhaust, and things of this nature. Now it is very, 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 it's very exponential up there in the sky, and you see it go daily. So, I mean, it's, when you're talking viruses now, I'm going to give you a little bit about an education on nanotoxicity. There's a thing called a tetrahedron. A tetrahedron is basically a synthetic gene made with nanoparticles. And what it does is it works just like your own gene in your body. It regulates and gives directions to what needs to be done, how to shape, how to build, or to follow, or to carry its program. When this is incorporated into any kind of biology, it overrides the genetic code that's there by reprogramming the genetic code in whatever it interacts with. And that's the danger of this technology. And it's in a lot of our foods already. They're spraying nano silver in the food. We looked at a tomato that came out of a greenhouse. We looked at it with a 800x microscope. And what we saw was multi-layering of this tomato, and this tomato was not exposed to the great outdoors. It was inside. Yikes. That's how fine these particles. Yeah, so, I mean, we need to really start evaluating or reevaluating this whole idea of genetics, nanoparticle genetics, or nanoparticly incorporated genetics. Even the vaccines now are carrying nano particulates in them. And again, like I said, the whole design of some of this stuff is about rewriting or overloading or shutting down your programming and incorporating a new genome in the system to take over. It's not science fiction anymore. We're not at the stage of science fantasy. This is science reality today, and we're seeing it. And again, not very many people are aware of this. Are we in a commercial?
Well, it sounds like we have a commercial coming on. All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors. You want some more? Stay with us. Did you hear the falling bombs? All righty, we are back. This is Deanna. I'm subbing for Clint tonight. And tomorrow night, we're going to have James Perloff on with us. Tonight, our guest is Tony Pantelaresco. His website is augmentinforce.50webs.com. And I will certainly post that in both chat rooms. And the chat rooms that we are monitoring tonight is Bengala.chatango.com and CorporationNation.chatango.com. Please visit either one, and we're just having a nice little visit talking about, well, some very interesting things with our guest, Tony. Let me just ask you a question from the chat room. Do you still advocate sodium bicarbonate with ascorbic acid, which converts to high base and sodium ascorbate and increases pH?
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't I? And this, you know what? That's another thing that I find hilarious today. I mean, it's so ridiculous. You got these guru marketers all trying to sell some kind of hokey pokey smoky. You know, I because, you know, I can't use what I want to say on the radio because it wouldn't be very polite and kind of rude, but and crude. But these people seriously need to give their head a shake. Okay, everyone is so worried about acid and alkaline. It is beyond belief that people are still buying into this horse manure. Anything you consume, I don't care what it is, you're going to go into a state of acidosis to digest and to process. It's if you stay there for an extended period of time, that's when it can be a problem. And people don't talk about alkalosis, where you're in too high a state of alkalinity, and that could be just as dangerous as being in an acid state. In fact, it's harder to balance alkalosis than it is acidity. And when you're in a state of alkalosis, you open yourself up to viral infections. Now, anybody who's going to knock ascorbic acid or any ascorbate, sodium ascorbate, magnesium ascorbate, whatever, then you better seriously look at the marketing angle that's coming from that. Because these things have been tried and true since 1938. They work. The guy that had H1N1 down in New Zealand, what did he use? Ascorbic acid. Did he use any of these whole food ascorbic acids? No. Did he use any of this cucumber nonsense? No. What did they use? They used straight ascorbic acid or ascorbable palmitate, which is a very high uptake of vitamin C, or they used a liposome. So, you know, there should be, I mean, you need to kind of wake up and smell the coffee on this and realize when you're being taken. I strongly believe that if this is Ebola, a real Ebola, now, I would probably suggest strongly if you did an intravenous of vitamin C, you'd knock it out just like you would anything else, since vitamin C is a very powerful antiviral. And you would be using a sodium ascorbate.
Sure.
So,
I interviewed Dr. Jennifer Daniels this morning, and she said that what Ebola actually is that... it's a foodborne disease, which you've kind of implied that it is. You feel nauseated. You have diarrhea. You may run a fever. And she said, they are calling that Ebola. And she said, it's really just a matter of, she gave us a recipe for knocking it out. But what they are doing is misapplying this name to it, Ebola, and she said it was discovered in 1976, and that it is just being used as a fear tactic to basically tyrannize the country, to go in and take over people's property, and she gave us some examples of that, and of course, they're going to introduce a vaccine, which will probably kill more people than the flu symptoms that they might be having that isn't Ebola at all. What are your thoughts?
The CDC has come right out and said they don't have a cure. So if you don't have a cure, how in the blazes are you going to have a vaccine?
Well, they'll just make something up. I mean, that's what they always do.
I know, but I'll tell you something. Somebody sent me a video from... this thing called Nova. And Nova means no good in Spanish. And this really applied to this video. And they were videoing women from California. And these women from California were saying, I'm so confused about vaccines. And I'm thinking in my mind, you should keep your legs crossed. Don't have any babies because it's the child that's going to suffer from your confusion.
Sure.
How is it that you cannot go out and look on a computer today, because everybody, they've got cell phones, so obviously they can access the internet, and look up, even in Google, which is one of the worst search engines you could ever use for research, you can even find in Google mercury and the dangers of thermosterol, formaldehyde, aluminum, you know, sheep blood, monkey. I mean, why is it such a difficult process here to be confused? After I got done watching that video, I kept, and one of them, I mean, this one really had the brain of an Einstein here. One of them had already vaccinated one of their children and had a problem because of the vaccine, and she was going to repeat the process. Now, I thought to myself, self, this is brain damage. Severe brain damage. And I'm serious, and I'm not kidding on this one. If you're really that confused about vaccines, keep your legs crossed. Seriously, don't have babies. Because you have no idea what, if you don't have any fundamental concept of these type of metals poisoning a child, and cocktail vaccines, which have no evidence globally, you will not find one shred of evidence that cocktailing vaccines are safe in any way, shape, or form, or even work. So if you can't take the time to understand what these metals do and what the genetic profile of what they're putting into the vaccines, like I said, sheep blood, monkey genes, aborted babies, dog parts, pig parts for Muslims and Jews, other animal parts. If you can't understand that, okay, then seriously, you should not be having any, because when that child's born and you inject that crap into the child, it is a crap. And then the other thing they tell you, which is really mind-boggling to me, they're saying some children have a disposition to the vaccines. Then my question is, how do you know yours doesn't?
Sure.
So I find that alarm, because what happens is that I get parents, my child has brain damage. And I said, did you give him a vaccine? Yes. I says, why? Well, the doctor talked me into it. Tell the doctor to take the needle and shove it up their backside sideways. Seriously, you can say no to these. Say no to drugs. There used to be a big, big, huge platform 30 years ago. Say no to drugs. This is a drug. Say no to it. You know, you don't need it. The kids don't need it. And then the other thing they tell you is, my kids won't be able to go to school. If you're in the United States and Canada, most states and almost every province has a waiver form. They're not telling you about the waiver form. They just so happen to conveniently leave that out of the equation. Get the waiver. If something goes wrong, you pull the kid out of the school anyway, which makes sense. You don't want to leave him in a bath of infections anyhow. You want the child out of that environment. And the other thing, they say they won't homeschool because they got this and that going on. I know things have changed quite a bit. When I was growing up, you basically, if you had kids, they were primary concern, safety, whatnot. So I don't know. Some things have changed. And so again, this whole evaluation process about vaccines and having kids, and if you don't understand, should be really seriously looked into for a lot of these people.
Indeed. Absolutely. All righty. We're going to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Maybe if I press this button.
There are so many things to learn about in this world, and so many people who can help us learn, and so many
All
people
right,
who can
welcome
help
back. This is Deanna, and I am subbing for Clint, my good friend tonight, and our guest is Tony Pantelaresco. His website is augmentenforce.50webs.com. And we've been talking about, well, all kinds of things. We've been talking about Morgellons. We've been talking about the food we eat. We've been talking about Ebola, all kinds of things. And so let's pick up from where we left off. Let me ask you a question that came out of the chat room. Deanna, could you ask Tony if ozone therapy is legitimate or snake oil?
What type of ozone are you talking about?
I have no idea. Ozone therapy.
There's several. If you go into the hyperbaric chamber, that works. If you're using peroxide, using food-grade peroxide, that works. If you're using some of these oxygenator products, it's dubious with some of them.
Yeah, yeah. There's some ozone filters that I bought one once, and I took it back within a day or so.
Yeah, a lot of the... It's unfortunate to say, but the health food industry is not healthy. And true. A lot of the stuff that you're being advertised today, probably 95% of it is just junk. Even the supplements today that you're buying. Now I'm talking health food store. I'm not talking your local drugstore. I'm not talking about your local Walmart or anything, because those are all junk most of the time anyway. Or your Costco stuff are one of the worst ones I've seen. When you go into a health food store and you start seeing propylene glycol, propylene ethylene glycol, aluminum, soy, natural flavor, TVP, HVP, anything that has to do with polymer, anything that says poly on it, these have all been compromised. These have all been contaminated with components in them that will either negate, neutralize, or just make the supplement completely inert. You're buying supplements that have a oil base to them, and there is some sort of gelatinous material. Sometimes you'll see it in the, like you're eating primrose oils, your coconut oils, your omega-3s. Those components that's just carrying that oil, you want to perforate the component, squeeze it out to stop, and swallow it without the capsule. Because you'll find if you swallow the capsule, you do not break it down. Matter of fact, the only reason why you don't see it coming out of your backside is because it's mixed with other fecal matter. But if you use any kind of sodium thiosulfate or something that's going to help expunge out of your system at a high velocity, the waste materials coming out of your body, you'll see it floating then. So a lot of these products have been compromised. GMP actually stands for give more poison, because that's what they've done. Everything that they've said to you about good manufacturing practice has been a complete 180 from that terminology. You got GMOs in your, some of your supplements. You got GMOs in a lot of foods that are in the health food industry. You'll see products saying non-GMO whatever, but what they're not telling you is they mix a non-GMO with a GMO that's mixed in the product. Now they're coming out with this wonderful pea protein, which is just as toxic, just as dangerous as soy. It's just as useless as far as protein absorption. It's like 50 on the BV rating. They've actually come up with a new way of testing protein and protein assimilation. It's designed to measure it while it's being digested in the gut. And your whey proteins and your dairy proteins were 25 to 30% higher on the uptake than any other form of protein. So the whey proteins have always been superior in their way, in their biological value, and because soy, pea, rice, hemp were so bad on the BV rating that they didn't even match up 50% to 40% on the uptake. So they had to change the PDCAA rating, which was really no rating. It was basically saying a lot of stuff, protein digestibility, charred amino acid profile, and it really measured nothing. And so that's how they sold the idea of soy. And now, in the bodybuilding industry, or it's been going on for about a year, they're trying to tell bodybuilders now to combine soy with whey, because whey is very expensive. And so, by cutting it with soy, which is a very cheap and inexpensive protein, you can still hold your market value, margin values high, and sell this junk product. And that's what they're doing.
Wow.
If you have access to get unpasteurized milk, that's the best one of the best proteins you can use. Gelatin is even better, better than anything I just mentioned there. And egg protein is the highest in the biological value. It's at 93 on the BV, weighs about 92. Gelatin is at 90. That's telling you that you're absorbing out of 100%. 90% of the protein in gelatin is absorbed, 92% of it is in whey, 93% of it is in egg, and if you combine gelatin with egg protein, you're getting a 99 out of 100 uptake on the protein. So this is a simple and inexpensive protein, but you will find that the bodybuilding industry will criticize, condescend, and condemn these proteins because they're trying to sell this inferior pea, soy, hemp, mixture of rice and whatnot, again, because these things are cheap and they can get a good profit margin, and they do so little for you. So And then again, there's that vegan thing again, you know, when I showed you that grasshopper being, having, you know, nano biology being pulled out. That's what happens when you're a vegan, because vegans get a full bore of that stuff. The animals at least break it down for you, but this is full exposure. So, you know, this whole rhetoric on dieting and what's healthy and some of the things, these things all have their place. Veganism does have its place. I don't condemn it all the way. It does have its place for cleaning the body up and helping release poison out of the body. But to stay on that is insanity. And if you're having issues with digestion or something going on, then maybe something more than just a cleanse that you need to do, you know. But anyway, that's this health food industry today. I find that the whole thing is a joke today. I've been showing people with the help of Dave when we do our filming how to make your own stuff, how to make your own supplements. Buy these things in bulk, make them yourself. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to do it. I pretty well show you how to make this stuff. It's pretty easy. And at the same time, while you're growing your food indoors all winter to avoid buying something coming from someplace else that we don't know what's going, you can make your own vitamins as well. Buy your powdered ascorbic acids, buy your powdered amino acids, buy your powdered vitamin B vitamins and multiple vitamins, and put it together. You know,
right, at least then
you know
do.
You don't have junk. Yeah.
I buy the I have two capsule machines. I use the gelatin capsules, which you've now those gelatin capsules do if you drop them in water,
they break down.
Yeah. So I do a lot of that. I make my own capsules of a lot of things. I mean, I have all kinds of jars. I have an apothecary, and
Only one?
Well,
only
I
one?
Have one. It's a big closet. Plus, I have a bunch of stuff upstairs. I really have a good supply of stuff, and you have encouraged me to do that, and I feel great. I do. I feel very, very good, and I do get raw milk from an Amish farmer and grass-fed beef and chicken, and I get eggs, and I make kefir. I make kombucha, all kinds of stuff, and
And that's what everybody should be doing, seriously. They should be going to the local farmer, Amish or whatnot, support them. What I did this year is I bought my blueberries when they were in season and my cherries when they were in season, and I stockpiled them in the freezer. Mm-hmm. So if I want fruit, then I'm going to eat the fruit I grew in my local area.
Sure.
Like I said, after watching some of the stuff I've been watching lately, and then realizing that this has been going on for quite some time without our awareness, and the assumption that, well, once some of these people make these funny remarks, and I have to laugh at some of these people, it says, well, Americans have been eating genetically modified organisms' foods for a long time, and nobody's gotten sick from them yet. Then my response is, well, how do you know? You haven't labeled them so we can have a direct correlation when somebody ate something and they got sick. And even if they had done that, the medical field would never report that somebody got sick eating a GMO corn, GMO soy, GMO rice, GMO tomato, GMO apple, whatever. They would never, ever report that anyway. We have to take control back of your health. You cannot trust the doctor. Majority of them don't have a clue about nutrition. The ones on TV don't have a clue at all. They are there to sell. That's all they're there for. Sell and expose.
Sure.
Is that another commercial? Yep.
Yes, okay. I guess we do. Okay, we're going to be back in 3 minutes.
From the pale and downtrodden and the words they say which we won't understand, don't accept that what's happening.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. I am subbing for Clint, And our guest tonight is Tony Pantelaresco. Tony, please tell the listeners about your program on the Micro Effect.
It's a multifaceted program. Talk about everything, just about like we're talking here. You know, we talk about health. We give out recipes. We're trying to advocate, you know, independence, not, and then, you know, corresponding with each other, networking with each other. I do a show 2 hours every Saturday between 8 and 10 p.m. Eastern. We've also got a YouTube. We just did a new YouTube. I don't know if you've seen it yet, called I Do Not Consent. We did a chemtrail march about 2 weeks ago, and we were out down at the river telling people, actually, 2 weeks ago, and we're down by the river showing people what a chembo was, what a chemtrail was, and, it was a pretty good time. We had 30 people turn out to voice their, not consenting to geoengineering. So we got that up there as well. So we have 137 YouTubes. At Herb Plus Beadworks, you can go in there, and there's all kinds of stuff where we show you how to make your own vitamins, how to make your own remedies, you know, making you aware of some of the things that are going on. And I've learned a new terminology. In the chat room, you get people that come in there, they're always trying to attack your position, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I call them turnips. Everyone calls them trolls, but I call them turnips. Because what happens is every time you speak the truth, they turn up.
That's funny.
Well, it's true.
That's true.
You're in the media. I am sure you being in the media yourself, you know, you get some buddies or peoples or things or aliens or whatever you want to call them will come up to you and just, you know, want to have a discussion on how you're an idiot and they're right and they know all the answers and they have all the answers and they have all the explanations and they can tell you everything that's going on. I mean, one guy made a comment about how the airline pilots would at least know what's going on, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy, it doesn't got too many brain cells that you could rub together to cause a spark. I've never known any government anywhere on the planet that would fully disclose to their soldiers when they tell them, go take that hill. Nobody's telling the soldiers why they're going to take that hill. You just got to take that hill.
Sure.
Meanwhile, when you guys are running to take the hill, the captain's at the sitting in the back, and he's calling the enemy, okay, I sent him up, take him out. You know, nobody asked, you know. So I find some of these things that come along, I realize that these are turnips, not trolls.
That really is very... descriptive. And speaking of the things that you have taught in your videos, I have made several of the things. And one of the things that I did make was beets and what was it that I put in there?
Wine.
Oh yeah, beets and wine. And mix it up. What is it? It was a heart solution, remedy?
A blood tonic.
Blood tonic. Okay, blood tonic. That was really kind of good. See, I don't drink wine, and but I did mix it up, and it was a medicinal thing. Okay, so and it was really kind of good. I really kind of liked it. And I recently purchased, you're not going to believe this, I recently purchased a bottle of vodka so that I could make, what is it I'm going to make? I've got some recipes that I'm going to make up some, according to this other book that I just recently purchased, some of my own tonics, and because some of them, you do need grain alcohol. And you mix certain things with it. I haven't opened the bottle yet, but anyway.
Well, if you don't have vodka, you can always use rum. You can always use brandy. You can also use tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Pure. So, I mean, you're not limited. Yeah. I mean, when you're like I said, people, well, that tonic there, we have, like I said, that one there saved a young girl's life in Pennsylvania. Her parents were down in South America as missionaries, and she contracted something down there that was just eating her blood, her iron in her blood.
Oh, my gosh.
And her blood count got below 4, and the doctors in Pennsylvania couldn't do anything for her. Parents contacted her, so give her that blood tonic. So they may give her an ounce of that every 3 or 4 hours. Well, by the next day, her blood count went from below four up to 8, back to normal. So, I mean, women who are menstruating on their moon time, you know, because they are losing blood, they're through the purification process, and they're losing iron, this is one of the best things you can take while you're on that to help renew your blood at the same time. So, it has a lot of healing properties, and it does produce nitric oxide. So, again, you're going to get the anti-cancer.
Which is very good for you, yeah. Okay. Well, I have to make some more of that. It did have a tendency to make me nice and sleepy and relaxed. I really like that stuff.
Your Mediterranean
and it's a very pretty color.
Your Mediterranean side is coming out.
Oh, goodness. I'm not actually Mediterranean.
No?
I'm actually Danish, English, and Irish, and German.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough.
But anyway, I've really enjoyed mixing up some of the things that you've suggested. I just feel that it makes you feel better to know what you're taking, what you're doing. You're taking responsibility for your own health. You're not relying on some doctor that's going to give you poison, because all of the medications, all of that stuff that the pharmaceutical industry is creating is poison. It is absolutely poison. The things that you are recommending have no side effects, not a single side effect. Nothing. You're not going to die. You're just gonna, well, you make it a little woozy, but you're not gonna die, right?
Well, the ginger, onion, and grapefruit one, that one you gotta be careful with, because that'll put hair in your chest and make a man out of you. That one will. That one almost knocked me out.
Really?
When I first made that one, I had a champion juicer and I juiced the ginger and the onion and the grapefruit. And I've been doing this stuff for like 30 years. So I took a shot of this stuff. Next thing I know, I'm seeing spots, and I'm saying, "Oh, look at this! My blood pressure's off the map." I felt every orifice in my brain open up. So I thought, "I got to try this again. What's going on here?" So I took about half the amount, and again, I had another one of those spotty moments in the brain opening up. Then I decided I better take a tablespoon of this. So I tried that third, and that was it. I said, "You know, I have to sit down." So that one there, you got to be careful with, and that one in the analgesic formula, do not take those, or the blood tonic one for that matter. Do not take medications with any of these formulas I'm giving you, because they can amplify your medication by a factor of 5 or 10. One guy did contact me at the very beginning when we started these videos. He took the controversial formula, the analgesic formula, and the ginger, onion, and grapefruit formula. He had been blind in one eye for 30 years, and after 30 years got his vision back in the eye, and the doctors had no explanation for it. I had no idea that would do that for him either, you know, but that's what he did. He combined them. So it was another testimony to some of these things that you can make. They're very simple. They work, and anybody can make them. No matter what your economic status is, you can make this stuff. You know, in the United States, a bottle of wine is about $3. In Canada, it's about anywhere from 13 to 20. You know, we get raped over here. So,
sure.
But anybody can, you know, buy wine. Fruit is still abundant, but make sure. And now, the other thing with fruit, I encourage everybody, make sure you peel all fruits, tomatoes, anything. You have no idea today, even if they say they're orgasmically organic, because I'm always mocking that term.
I know.
Well, that's what it is. It's just a lot of hokey there. Peel everything.
Sure.
Peel everything,
okay.
You know, until you grow
Alrighty.
Your own tomatoes.
Hey, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be back at 6 minutes after the hour with more questions, more Tony, and more recipes and more wisdom. So stay with us. We'll be back at 6 minutes after the hour.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Clint has a different commercial schedule than I do, so I'm glad that I was sitting here and that I wasn't downstairs getting a snack of some sort. Alrighty, I do have some questions for Tony. Our guest tonight is Tony Pantelaresco. His website is augmentinforce.50webs.com, and I will post that in both of the chat rooms, and we certainly want you to visit the chat rooms, spingola.chatango.com or corporationnation.chatango.com. And our guest, as I said, is Tony Pantelaresco. He does have a radio program at the Micro Effect. That is a once-a-week program?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, here are some questions. Could you ask Tony about already prepared greens like barley, grass, and others? I don't know.
Okay, greens. In the December 2012 link, you click on that on my webpage, on the augmentinforce.50webs.com webpage, and I got all the scripts of the show. December 2012, click on it, then look at December 7. There's a link there called mycotoxin. There's not one grain we are eating today that has not been altered, infected, affected by some form of genetic engineering or genetic modification. Not one.
None of your rice. Greens, not grains, greens.
Oh, greens. So he said,
greens,
oh, sorry,
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah.
He said, a lot of these green products are a waste of money. I'll tell you straight out, they're just a waste of money. Very expensive manure. When you look at the labels of a lot of these green products, a lot of them have soy in them. You know, a lot of them and a lot of them, what they do too is when they tell you a listing, for instance, some of the old products used to list spirulina, chlorella, barley grass, beet grass, alfalfa, blah, 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 5,000 milligrams. But it was a proprietary blend. So it led the consumer to assume that each one of those components was 5 grams per serving. Your serving would have had to have been 5 tablespoons, okay, to get all that. So again, it was, it's a lot of bullsh, really. And so when you read those labels, anything that says proprietary blend, stay away from it because you don't know really what's going on in there. All right, let's say you buy a green product and it's got dandelion in it, it's got chlorella in it, it's got, spirulina in it, and it's got nettle. You can bet your bottom dollar that the dandelion and the nettle will be the more predominant product in that proprietary mix because chlorella and spirulina are extremely expensive. And for them to get the profit margin they need to get out of that product, they're going to charge you top dollar for a low amount, and you have no idea what you're getting. So a lot of these green products, if you're going to have a green product, make it yourself. Not hard to do. We show you a video called Cleaning and Juicing Greens. That green product has more power and punch than anything you're going to buy at any health food store. And it's going to cost you approximately $3 to make almost 3 quarts. Not a bad little investment for what you need. And all you need is watercress, parsley, and dandelion. Now, if you want to add purslane to it, you can. If you want to add nettle to it, you can. If you want to add other green vegetables, if you want to add sprouts to it, you can. You can modify this. But at least when you're doing it in the way I'm showing you there, you are going to get a real green, and you're going to know exactly how much is in there. You can weigh everything out. You can see the gram amount. You can figure out the serving per tablespoon, teaspoon, or ounce, or cup. And it's cheap.
Exactly. All righty. Another question. What is the Queen of Hungary formula good for? The individual has the recipe and some of the ingredients, but cannot remember what it is used for.
It cured the Queen of Hungary from a blood cancer or some type of viral overload, maybe an STD, something equivalent to maybe an HIV of that day. It's used for a lot of things, can be used for a lot of things. It's a blood purifier. It's an immune enhancer. It's loaded with antioxidants. It's got brain supporting mechanisms in there. It's got organ cleansing and organ support mechanisms in there. So it's used for a lot of things. You can apply it to almost anything, from even boosting your immune system to dealing with issues. It's sort of like the thieves formula. If you look at it, it can be used almost for almost any on almost any front. You can use it: viral, bacterial, fungal, mold. I mean, it has all these properties in there that can really make a difference as far as helping the body overcome a lot of things. It's even got any parasitical problems. So, and it's cheap to make as well. Another one that's cheap.
Sure. Okay, another question. Sometimes it's hard to get the potassium iodide from certain drugstores. They have to special order it, and since people use it to make meth, some can give you a hard time.
That was such a pile of rubbish, mess. And what's the other one? Ecstasy was the other one.
Oh.
What nonsense. It's pure nonsense. The reason why that it's hard to get, just like ephedrine. Ephedrine was sold in the United States and they banned it because they said you can make ecstasy out of it. I mean, it was such rubbish. If I'm a dealer and I'm going to make a narcotic of that magnitude, why would I want to buy it from a drugstore when I can go to and get an order online through eBay, Amazon, or any of these other sites from China and buy it by bulk? So the reason why they took it off is because it actually would have stopped some of the chemtrail infections. It would stop a lot of this Ebola nonsense that they're putting out there. Iodine fixes a lot of things. So, okay, if you can't get it at a drugstore, bypass them anyway. You're going to pay twice as much. Unless you're going to an apothecary and you're going to or an independent drugstore, get it from Pure Bulk. Get it from UnitedNuclear.com. You can get it from eBay. You can get it from ScienceLab.com. You can get it from ChemicalStore.com. There's tons of places where you can get this stuff from. So you don't need to rely on... If someone is being an idiot with you, using this kind of vernacular, oh, you might be a meth head or whatever, really? If he's not going to get it from you, he's going to get it from somewhere else anyway. So, I mean, that's a lot of baloney. Just go online and pick it up. You know, you don't have to be, you don't have to allow yourself to be, handcuffed because somebody's being, you know, moronic.
Exactly. Can you use the Queen of Hungary formula along with the blood tonic?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Well, you know, they're all natural things. That is the thing. And you said not to use it with any medications. I think people should try and wean themselves off of whatever medications they're on. Correct?
I agree with you more. You don't need these bloody drugs. Statins is one drug you don't need. As a matter of fact, you can quit that right now, all of you that are on this. I mean, garlic does what a statin does. Olive oil does what a statin does. Onion does what a statin does. Papaya does what a statin does. Papaya seeds does what a statin does. Cayenne pepper does what a pineapple. You know, and you know what they tell you, especially if you're on warfarin, rat poison. Hey, go have some rat poison. I got some for you.
And that is what it is. It's Coumadin and it's rat poison.
Yes. And then they tell you not to eat pineapple, not to eat garlic, not to eat pepper, not to eat ginger, not because it will amplify the drug, but it does the exact same thing as the drugs if you get off the grains. And I mean all the grains, okay? All these issues you're dealing with, blood pressure issues, cholesterol issues, which really is not an issue.
You need cholesterol.
You need, and 220 to 240 is what you're looking at. Not these low numbers that they're talking about. And if you get off the grains, you get off the soy, you quit using the bloody microwave, and you quit using the fast food companies, and you start cooking again like you're supposed to, you won't have these problems. Leave the sugar alone. Leave the bananas alone. Leave the watermelon alone. These fruits have too much glycemic sugar, and you, most of you, are already overloaded. And no Snickers, no Kit Kat, no candy, no pies. Leave it. Leave it alone. You guys, right. Most of you have these problems because you got so much poison in your body. That now they're giving you a drug which is putting more poison in your body, but these drugs are highly addictive. And so as a result, you become addictive, and then as well, these drugs shut your body's normal processes down. So now your body doesn't know how to work anymore. You know, when they give a woman Synthroid and thyroxine, they basically put the thyroid to sleep in total atrophy. So then it takes almost 2 years to get that back, getting on things like iodine and selenium and tyrosine and vitamin D and porcicolin. And it takes a long time because your body has become addicted to this crap. If you're on a pharmaceutical drug.
All right. I noticed we've got some callers.
Okay. More?
All righty. Sorry.
Hey, go ahead.
I agree with you. I've been off grains for a long time. Alrighty, let's take Steve in California. Steve, welcome. I'm sorry I didn't look at the board. Welcome.
That's all right. I talked to you Sunday, so I'm not going to hold that against you. But no, I do want to say I'm a healthcare professional, but I am my last doctor's appointment was like last week. It was interesting. Before I left my appointment, the physician, my general practitioner, has a rundown of suggested vaccines and other things that they think you're going to need in the future. They have this rundown. It's kind of interesting. Kaiser Permanente. But he came right off the bat and said about my flu vaccine, and I said, no, I'm not interested. And he looked at me kind of funny and said, why? And I said, well, there's many reasons. Mercury or formaldehyde and other things in a vaccine, which accumulate year after year because it's a yearly vaccine. And I said, also, it goes against the whole premise of a vaccine where you should get some kind of immunity lasting you a certain number of years. And he looked at me, he said, well, that's kind of foolish. That's ridiculous. And I said, well, respectfully disagree, but I'll pass. Thank you. But I think these general practitioners are really sold on this. I don't know if the hospital tells them you get some extra, you know, bonus at the end of the quarter or something, but he really was sold on it, and I couldn't believe it. He said, that's ridiculous. That's nonsense. But, no, I've done my homework. I've done a lot of research on this, and a lot of the critical care physicians I work with.
Steve, stay over the break. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back, and then let's pick this up on the other side.
If this is your first time with us, let me extend a personal invitation.
Let's build a happy little cloud. Let's build some happy little trees. There are no limits here. Believing here is in your world.
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna, and I am subbing for Clint, my good friend. And our guest tonight is Penny. Sorry, Tony. Tony Pangilaresco. I get up really early, and so by 8 o'clock at night, I'm pretty wiped out. And I didn't even have any blood tonic. Tony Pantelaresco, and his website is augmentenforce.50webs.com. And we had Steve on the phone whose doctor was trying to poison him with a flu shot. And he had the nerve and the intelligence to say, heck no! I don't want one of your shots. So, Steve, continue with your comment. Is Steve still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. You there?
Okay. Yeah.
He looked at me like I was one of those tinfoil hat kind of guys. You know, I said, I'm a pretty educated guy. I say to myself, I investigate things, I research. I mean, it's out there, like your guest said. If the internet's there, you can research so much of this stuff. And I did, and I'm convinced that it's not a good thing, and I am not going to partake of it, and I will fight it all the way. And I will not be intimidated, and I will not have my job jeopardized in saying that I have to take it or else. I've already figured out a plan for that. But I was really kind of just, so I just couldn't believe it. He just looked at me, and I just, these general practitioners are sold on this. But where I worked with, I work with a lot of critical care physicians, specialists, pulmonologists, they're all pretty much on board saying it's a scam, don't buy it. They're the ones that opened my eyes up many years ago about this yearly vaccine every year. And I said, you know what, that makes a lot of sense, you're right. It goes against the whole premise of what inoculation is supposed to do, giving you some kind of immunity for a period of time and every year on the year. And I just wondered how many people would actually fall for this whole Ebola thing if they come out with an Ebola vaccine and say, everybody must take it, you should take it, or, you know, they use some kind of fear factor, and line up and start taking their shot, an Ebola shot on top of a flu vaccine and a Pneumovax. I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on here with the vaccines.
Tony, your thoughts?
Well, he's right. I mean, they're heading that way. I mean, people are so entranced to just obey and follow orders and not think. And this gentleman here went to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, you know, how about a flu vaccine? The guy says, no, I'm not interested. And the guy, why not? Blah, blah, blah. Well, it's stupid. Really? Can you show me how this is stupid? I mean, what do you know about formaldehyde? What do you know about thermaster? What do you know about mercury accumulating in the body? What do you know about aluminum accumulating in the body? Do you know what an MSDS is? See, these are things I would have thrown back at him. You know, I have that, because I have one of those attitude things, and you know, when I hear doctors speak along those lines.
You have an attitude thing?
just a slight one, you know. Well, see, because what happens with me is, see, they go to the doctor thing, right? And they do the whole doctor gambit, and then they get smoked. They get good and smoked. The kids get autism. And then they're crying, and then they come see me. And then I'm saying, I ask them, what possessed you to do this? Well, the doctor talked me into it. He scared the bejesus out of me. He could have just said no. But they don't know how to say no anymore. All they know how to do is allow themselves to have this boogeyman complex come over them. The boogeyman is going to get you if you don't take this vaccine, you know. And they fall for it. And the thing is, they keep falling for it. This is brain damage, you know. So, you know, when you get somebody who just called in, Steve, and he's using his brain, I enjoy hearing people like this. Because it's a huge change for me than to hear people that I hear all the time. Well, the doctors say, I says, what is a doctor? A guy with a suit, you know, got 2 feet, 2 hands, and a heartbeat, just like you. All he's got is a coat. He doesn't know anything more than you do.
Right.
and all that education they've gotten, what have they cured in the last 7 years? Nothing. They haven't cured anything. So with all this highfalutin education, what have they cured? Nothing. Someone told me the other day, they cured polio. I said, no, they didn't. Did you know polio could be cured with something as simple as copper sulfate, copper ascorbate, or copper citrate? And they had that cure long before the vaccine was around. That vaccine was nothing more than to infect people with issues.
With polio. That's all that was.
Well, not just with polio. Cancer and a whole host of other things that came from that vaccine. So, you know, it had nothing to do with, and they have not, I mean, seriously, you, like the gentleman said there, I have to come in and year out to get a flu vaccine. Haven't you cured the bloody thing yet? Why do I need to be inoculated against something like this? Why not just cure it?
Right.
Why not just come up with a solution? Now, has the medical field done this? No. Then they put the scare of high blood pressure and cholesterol on a lot of people. And I got to laugh at that. That one is, like I said, if anybody did any simple, fundamental research, would find that the whole thing's a hoax.
Well, they are taught in medical school to ridicule people who question them. That is what they are instructed to do, because then the patient will feel intimidated, and they do this particularly, the pediatricians do this, and I talked about this morning, the pediatrician's bread and butter is vaccines, and they are instructed to to appeal to the parents and say, well, you wouldn't want to withhold something that's going to be good for your child. I mean, they intimidate people to accept their noxious poisons. And they are poisonous. And they never give you the insert. And if you read the insert, you would know, the doctor should know all the ingredients in the vaccines. And if that doctor you should ask the doctor, did you read the insert? Do you know what's in the vaccine that you're trying to put in my arm? They're just ignorant. Absolutely ignorant and brainwashed.
I got to tell you a true story. Dear friend of mine went to the hospital for a routine check, and they did a examination of his gallbladder. So they have to stick a tube in his penis. And after the examination, he had an infection 7 days later. And it happens every time they give these type of examinations. So what wound up happening is they gave him a drug with one prescription only. Now, the warning on that prescription was not to give it to anybody elder, because it could kill them. So they took the one vaccine, then went back to get another one, not a vaccine, sorry, a prescription. Went to get another one, he wanted two of them. But then when they got home, they read up on it, and they couldn't believe that they were actually prescribing this to him. And I said, they were trying to kill you. So then I got him on the iodine, and within 2 days, he got over the bulk of the infection that he had going on. He's still weak, but he basically peed out the drug. Now,
this
reality is going on. I mean, I could tell you horror stories here in Ontario where I've had people killed going to the hospital for nothing. Had a 38-year-old Native woman got in for a simple examination, said she had cancer. They did a trach on her. Then they made her stay in the hospital. They asked her boyfriend 7 times to terminate her because they wanted her organs. Anyway, he said no. Finally, she died because they wouldn't treat her. They just let her basically die. And that was the end of it. And I've had elderly people go into a hospital. When they started getting better, they euthanized them using morphine or whatever the drug of choice was. I had another guy go into a hospital. Father had a lung infection. And what happened was that the first thing they do is told the son, can we get a box for him? They weren't even trying to treat him. So this is the reality of socialized medicine, and you guys are getting it with Obamacare. Keep that in mind.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Now, we have to go to a break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. For Clint. I will be subbing for Clint tomorrow night, and our guest tomorrow is James Perloff. Our guest tonight is Tony Pantelaresco. His website is augmentenforce.50webs.com. And do have a couple of questions. Let's see. Could you ask your guest to explain how vitamins are regulated in Europe? It's coming our way. Okay.
Regulation, you mean restricted.
restricted. Okay, so they have Codex Salmonarius over there already?
Oh, they've had it long, long time ago. I mean, I get contacted from Europeans all the time, Yugoslavia or Croatia, UK, France, Italy, you name it, and they cannot get a lot of the stuff we get here. It's not regulated, it's restricted. They can't even get chlorophyll in the liquid form without a prescription there. And some of the stuff, what was it they couldn't get? Sweden couldn't get potassium chloride. Oh, it's just crazy over there. And this is why we started these YouTubes 5 years ago, to get you to show you how to circumvent Codex and how to circumvent, you know, the FDA and how to circumvent the European Food and Safety Authority, which is the FDA of Europe. You're going to have to learn how to use your head because, like I said, your vitamins are already becoming more and more compromised with polymers. They're becoming more and more compromised with synthetics. They're becoming more and more compromised with soy and metals like aluminum. Titanium dioxide and nano silver causes testicular cancer. It's in a lot of things today, and it's in, titanium dioxide is in a lot of your health food supplements. It's the whitening agent. So regulations, we already have regulations here in the United States. What they're slowly, and Canada, what they're slowly doing is they are adapting slowly through media and through advertisements and through misinformation. For instance, you want about 5 grams of vitamin C a day. Now, some idiot comes out there and says, oh, ascorbic acid is poison. Oh, it's this, it's that. Oh, it's any, you want natural. And they play this psychology game on you with this natural nonsense. And natural, well, arsenic is natural. Go help yourself. Buy the ton. It's natural. Go for it. See, it's a game. It's a word game. And what they're doing is they're getting you to reduce what works at an adequate dose to some garbage idea or some colorful idea, natural, orgasmically organic, you know, wholesome, nutritionally dense. And then when you look at those labels, nutritionally dense means proprietary blend, which gives you no idea what you're eating. But you look at the word, ooh, nutritionally dense. Well, how much are you getting? Well, I don't know. What's it say? It doesn't say anything. Don't buy it. So when you're looking at these things, seriously, you got to give your head a shake here and realize that the marketeers in this industry, and you got a lot of so-called marketeering gurus in this business that will screw you out of something that's really good. We do our videos and we get attacked all the time from both sides. And especially on certain videos we do, because we know, they know what we're showing you is going to save you a bundle of money. Instead of paying $400 for a clove of silver unit, you can go spend $3 at any secondhand store, get a 2-volt milliamp, 9-volt adapter, and you can make your own clove of silver. But see, that cuts into somebody's wallet. And it's a lot of baloney. You know, then you got these other gurus saying, you should use nano silver to fight Ebola. What they're not telling you about nano silver, especially for you men, is nano silver causes testicular cancer. They're not telling you that either. So, and nanos incorporate themselves with other nanoparticulates which you already have in your body. All it takes is the right frequency, right attenuation, and they can get activated. I'll give you an example. You're in a car driving down the road. You get out of your car. You go into a bank or a mall, a bowling alley, a movie house, whatever, and they're playing some music, you know. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. And now you come out of that theater or that bowling alley or that bank, and you've got that music playing in your head for 4 weeks. 4 weeks. That's a frequency that just activated you through the music. Okay, you watch a TV program and you hear a commercial, and that commercial plays some kind of ditty, da 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 dum, and you hear that for 4 or 5 weeks. That's a frequency that activated you. You got your cell phone that's constantly trying to reprogram your brain. You've got smart meters. You've got and this is all part of they're interconnected with these nanoparticles. So when you see some of this stuff, some of these frequency devices or these buzzing, really be careful what you're buying, because they could be doing so. If you have Morgellons, never use a zapper. The zapper will activate these things and they will spread like wildfire through your body. What Morgellons is primarily is nano biofilm poisoning. That's what it is.
What's the zapper?
Sometimes they use zappers to kill parasites in the body.
Oh, okay.
It runs an electrical charge. If you've got a Lyme disease, for instance, let's say you had Lyme, you had a tick disease, you'd run a zapping device through your system, which would run electrical current, which would fry the central nervous system of the tick. It would starve to death, and your body would be rid of it within a couple of weeks. But nobody's really got Lyme today. A majority of the people that have been diagnosed with Lyme have Morgellons. And I had a guy contact me from the West Coast and said that, you know, he had been diagnosed with Lyme, had been going for treatments for 6 years, had no response, saw the video, and I pointed out that the Lyme is, for most of these people, are Morgellons, got them on the BAS solutions to restrict and reduce the load, got got him on the internal stuff, and he called me back, said in 2 weeks he couldn't believe how good he was feeling because he was starting to reduce the load inside.
Wow. Fabulous. Well, I got rid of my my microwave some time back. I don't use a cell phone except maybe once a month, if that. In fact, I couldn't even tell you where it is. Right. Well, yeah, I do keep it. I do keep it.
What do you call that?
I keep it in case somebody cuts the wires to my house and I have to call the police before I shoot them.
Oh, okay. See, it's a good, I forget now what the, it's a box that blocks an electromagnetic field. Faraday. It's a good Faraday cage. You can put your electronics in there and it won't get affected if an EMP goes off.
Right. Okay. Some more questions. Somebody asked about seed extract, like broccoli seed, cauliflower seed. You can use those kinds of seeds to sprout and make greens, right?
You can. You just got to be careful. If you have a thyroid condition, you don't want to be using those for sprouts. You don't want to be using broccoli. You don't want to be using radishes. You don't want to be using cabbage. They can actually further damage the thyroid. All these products with the sulforaphane in them, you know, for women who have for breast cancer protection, they actually can induce it indirectly because it shuts down the iodine uptake and causes thyroid damage. So if you've already got a compromised thyroid, like all this kale they tell you to eat, you know, seriously reduce that down to like one a week or one every 2 weeks.
Okay. All righty. Let's see, another question. Morphine. You mentioned morphine a few minutes ago. They use it to kill people in the hospital. What does the morphine do exactly?
Besides, you're in a state of complete obliteration. You don't know where you are, what you're doing, and you're done. It's like an overdose. You're overdosing them on a drug.
Okay, and you have, you could have hallucinations, that kind of thing?
I think it just puts you right into a coma, and you're done.
Wow.
You'll never know what happened until you wake up and you're on the other side of the pearly gates wondering, how did I get here? The last thing I remember was going to the hospital to get fixed, and I'm here. What happened? And then somebody will have to explain that to you on the other side. Well, you went in there and they gave you a shot and they took you out.
Wow. Wow.
So this is not the Twilight Zone. This is the real zone.
Exactly. Okay, we have another caller, Jim in Idaho. Jim, welcome.
Hi, Deanna, Tony. Just a real quick aside from my original point that you mentioned about getting rid of your microwave. I read an article, I think it was Good Housekeeping or something, at my mom's one time. I tried it. I've been doing it ever since. I unplug my microwave, toaster, any appliance in my kitchen. If I'm not using my washer dryer, I flip the breaker on it. Unplug my TV, my radio. I dropped my power bill from $129. The last bill I paid was $23.
Yeah, somebody I knew actually put the breaker on the house and shut it off at night. Just to stop the smart meters and the RFs in the house from permeating through the house. I've had to wrap my room up in an aluminum barrier just so I can sleep at night.
You'd be surprised how much money you saved from $129 down to $23.
Yeah.
I even unplugged my garbage disposal until you need it. But my other thing was about the flu shot.
Oh. Gentlemen, hang on just a moment. We do have a commercial. We'll be right back, so stay with us, Jim, and you can ask him about that flu shot. Be right back in 3 minutes.
Easing trade imbalances, recession, low GDP, nations close to collapsing, and subprime loans, foreclosed homes, and people's taxes spent to bail out too big to fail. AAA banks again. Fear levels rising as the U.S. crash seems imminent.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna. I just read something really funny in the chat room I need to share with you. Oh, gosh. Talking about garbage disposals, I think Jim said that he turned his off. And somebody in the chat room said, well, a few angry wives have gotten rid of their husbands one piece at a time with a garbage disposal. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I get a little goofy at night, too. Okay. Back to Jim. You were talking about vaccines.
Yeah. Well, The first one I ever remember getting was a sugar cube back in 1960. I was like five. My grandmother got me that for polio. I had to go get that. Then the ubiquitous, you used to get tetanus shots, but if I remember right, they were good for like 10 years. You know, back to the old lockjaw scare when you're a kid stepping on a rusty nail. But like I was telling OCD, this 24th of October, I'm scheduled to go see my doctor. He's an ARNP, and this will be the third year I've refused a flu shot. And I can guarantee you that I can feel that this one's going to be a different encounter with him because he doesn't like the fact that I bristle against him. And in light of this Ebola thing, I think it's going to be telling my relationship with him because he wants me to get a pneumonia shot every time I go in there, a tetanus shot, and the flu shot, which I never had until only a couple of years ago. Both times I got him at Safeway, and I was sick 3 days later with the flu. I swear to God.
Don't go to the doctor.
Pardon?
Don't go to the doctor. What are you going to the doctor for?
Oh, it's like a 3-month. I got the Blue Cross, and it's
so
kind of
what?
Like part of it. It's like
I would don't go to the doctor if you don't have a broken bone and you're not, you don't have a, you know, somebody hasn't cut you open or something. I mean, don't
right.
go to the doctor. If you don't have anything wrong with you, don't go to the doctor.
Yeah, I agree. But I know
that's
when I go to
see
him this time, it's going to be...
Tony, what's
your
opinion?
I wouldn't go to a doctor at all. I'd go to a physician, but I wouldn't go to a doctor. Most, there's a difference. You go to a doctor, you get what you get. Vaccines, pills, prescriptions, and death. Go to a physician, then they actually try to solve the cause of the problem. The first thing they try to do is give you, you know, change your diet and give you vitamins or supplements that are going to help fortify your immune system, and drugs are the last resort. So, I mean, when we're talking doctor, unless you're in a car wreck, train wreck, airplane wreck, don't go.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Because if
okay,
you can't, well, in the last 10 months, okay, I'm going to tell you what's going on in Ontario because this is coming to a country near you. In Ontario, they're trying to pass legislation right now that doctors can euthanize people at their whim without having any kind of legal backlash. And if we get it here, it will be in the United States of America. You people will go to your doctor. He'll say, well, you're too old. You're 65 years old. You know, it's just going to cost us a lot of money to fix you. Here's a suicide pill. Do the right thing. Do the honorable thing. Do the honorable thing, you know, and, you know, and take the burden off the country so they don't have to carry you and be burdened with you any longer. That's the horse hockey that will be coming down the pipe. You know, this Japanese nonsense where Japanese workers work all their lives for corporations, and at the end of their lives, and they're ready to retire because the corporations have provided them homes and cars and money, they are to do the honorable thing by not burdening the company by killing themselves off. So they know people won't do that because we have a certain type of belief systems in North America, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, born again, or whatnot. And so you're not going to kill yourself, but the doctor will prescribe a drug or whatever, and he'll give it to you because you're too old now. You're just going to waste money on you. You're going to die anyway. You're close to death. You know, we've lost, I think, 7 years off of our lifespan again. I think we're down to 69 or 68 years old now is the average lifespan for the generation coming. The 15-year-olds today will not see 30. I can almost bet money on that. A lot of them are so poisoned, so full of nanos and genetics and vaccines that they ain't going to make it. So going to a doctor today, unless you are taken there by an ambulance because you got into a car wreck or a plane wreck, may not be a good idea.
Right.
And I don't care what insurance you got. You know, if you go to a doctor and he inflicts you with a drug or a medication and destroys something or damages something or causes a lobotomizing of something of your body, you know what? You're pretty well now at their mercy.
Yeah, stay away from the doctor, Jim. You don't need to go. Okay. Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot. One quick question. You were mentioning cabbage and other vegetables that are not good for people with thyroid issues. What about cultured sauerkraut, cultured cabbage? That's totally different, right?
I mean, You can eat it. I mean, it's not saying you can't eat it, but if you've got, I mean, if you've got this issue going on, and they are goitrogenic, and a lot of these foods that they're advocating as healthy are goitrogenic. So, I mean, you got to realize who's got the most to gain from this. The guy at the health food store is who's going to sell you some more vitamins from some marketeer. Marketeer says, well, we got a thing for the thyroid. Here, take this stuff. Oh, we got something here for breast cancer. It's loaded with sulforaphane. But they're not telling you that if you got a thyroid issue or since these are goitrogenic, that you shouldn't eat these. Oh, wow, we've got this soy and pea protein, which is also goitrogenic. Ooh, load up on it because the protein's good for you, you know.
Sure.
Who's going to gain from this? So, you know, then you go to the health food store thinking you're getting something healthy. They're sabotaging your health. You're buying all these vitamins. They're still not working. Now you're going back to the doctor, which the reason why you went to the health food store was to get away from the doctor. They have now driven you back to a doctor or a naturopath, which is going to cost you $5,000, and you're going to buy more expensive vitamins because a lot of these guys don't know what they're doing. When eventually you go back to the doctor, who's now put you back on a prescription drug that you tried to get off of in the first place. So it's a vicious cycle, so you have to be aware of this.
Wow. Now, there is one individual in the chat room that said that his mother, in order to get senior transportation for shopping and other things, must have the paperwork filled out by a doctor, or she loses those transportation privileges. That is terrible. And, of course, I think that applies to other things. That, for instance, if you're in the welfare system, if your child is in the welfare system, then you have to have shots in order to get your welfare. You have to have the vaccines. You have to take the medications that the medical industry says that you have to take in order to receive your welfare payments. That's terrible. Go ahead.
Well, that means then it's time for you to become autonomous. Like, I hear this all the time about this thing. So basically, you're being blackmailed into being poisoned. And so to get that crumb that they're going to give you, they're going to poison you. I mean, whatever happened in the good old days when people worked together and provided each other transportation? Everybody chipped in $5 or $6 to pay for gas. We do that here in Canada. A bunch of us will get into one car. We're all going to work. We all give the guy $10 a week to cover the gas. Why can't you do something like that? Okay, you're on welfare. Well, maybe you might want to, you know, while you're thinking about the welfare, maybe you might want to start a business on your own, on the side, you know, making jewelry, shining shoes, you know, shoveling snow, something, you know.
Sure.
Get off of the system. The welfare was never meant to be a stable means of economics. It was there to help you get through a tough time, get in between a job or whatever. Now, if you're handicapped, you've been damaged, you know, you're busted up, then this does not apply to you. Welfare, you need it because you have a need for it. Okay, but at the same token, the whole concept of becoming autonomous and self-reliant, that's also going down by the wayside. And if you're going to have that carrot, and this is what they're doing, you want that American dream, you want that big house, you want that big money, well, you're going to have to now poison your offspring. You're going to have to now sacrifice your first, second, and third born to the system. This is what what it's come down to. And sad to say, people have lost their moral compass. They have lost their spiritual guide. They have lost whatever even concept of something more than themselves. So when we're, you know, when you're looking at all this stuff, I mean, network. I say that on my show all the time. Stay networked. You are fighting a Goliath here. This Goliath is well-armed, sophisticated, technically advanced. The only way you're going to beat him is through a network.
Exactly. Well, we're at the end of our 2 hours. It's been wonderful. As always, Tony, that house across the street is still vacant if you want to, you know, be my neighbor.
See, something's wrong with that house because it would have been sold.
I know. Bless your heart. Well, thank you so much for being my guest tonight. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
And
thank you, listeners.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.